Insurance, every Arizona homeowner's best friend.
Come on over, Arizona. It's 9 o'clock. The On the House Hour of Rosie on the House. We spend the hour on one particular element or feature of your home, castle, or cabin. And we're on the roof today, the flat roof in particular. And to do that, we've got Duraform Roofing and Tim. Before the Rosie on the House Contractor Referral Network started in 2001, Duraform was already there. Y'all were the primary flat roof specialist for Rosie's remodeling company at the time. And I mean, y'all predate the referral network.
It's crazy.
Time flies.
Yeah, when did that start? Like 94 or 95?
So the radio broadcast started in 88, and then the referral network officially launched in 2001. So it was kind of grew out of demand of this broadcast. But during that time, all the founding members of the referral network, a lot of them were primary subcontractors for Rosie's general remodeling company.
Yeah.
And Duraform was always the flat roof specialist. And
still here.
Duraform. Still here and still doing it. But talk a little bit about the history of Duraform.
So, way back, 80s, early 80s, my father, Steve, started a company called Spray Tech. So he ran that for 3 or 4 years, sold that, and then he went into the fishing business. You remember the Fisherman's off of McDowell. He had a little fishing shop there for 4 or 5 years. I don't know when he shut that down, but he started Duraform back in 89 again. And, I think he worked at part of the – I remember as a kid going to that fishing shop where it was fun to grab the lizards and the worms and check out the minnows. And so, I remember him running the company. I think he was running both at the same time for a little bit there and out of the back of the shop. And, 89 is when – Duraform was started, and we're still here,
and
2024.
For Duraform and Spray Tech, you know, this is the very beginning of, you know, foam being introduced as a building product and this type of application for, you know, the roof on top. So it's kind of a pioneer in the industry.
Yeah, I think it was – foam was developed by a guy named Bayer. You've probably heard of Bayer. Back in the 30s, and the foam roof application was developed in the 70s. That's when they figured out the machinery to get it to work. And I was talking to my dad last night about it, and he said he started spraying on the original equipment he sprayed back in the early 70s on that. I don't remember which company he worked for, but yeah, he was doing it in the 70s, and then started off in his own in the 80s, and here we are.
And the flat roof itself, you know, aside from the history of foam, the history of the flat roof, I was doing a little digging around, and according to the Craftsman blog, which I'd never heard of before, some guy out of Florida, flat roofs date back to as early as 5700 B.C., and what is today Turkey, and the oldest structure in the U.S. in New Mexico that was built between 100 and 1400 A.D. That's a flat roof is still occupied today in New Mexico. So it's I was asking, you know, why a flat roof? And I think I kind of stumbled upon the answer last night randomly. You know, why would you ever do a flat roof over a pitch roof? Well, those four guys never could have lowered the cripple down to Jesus on a pitched roof. That'd have been way too hard. You know, they had guys falling off. He'd had to do 38 or 39 miracles,
right,
reviving the guys that fell off the roof. So it had to be a flat roof in that application. But also in the desert, the abundance of buffalo to make the cover for the teepee didn't exist. So there had to be something else for the roof structure.
Huh, interesting.
And when we're bringing in a flat roof application, it's not necessarily flat. There's still some little slope to it.
Correct. Yeah, there should be, what is it, a quarter inch per foot application so that you get some sort of drainage coming off of your roof. Some houses, I think 70s, 80s, they did build them pretty much flat. I don't think there was a building code that they have now to get it off. And, yeah, we'll sometimes have to do a little bit of a different application on those to try to get that water moving.
And some of the ones in Sun City are even built to retain the water, which is the strangest thing. There's a ridge around the outside edge of the roof, and it creates a pond on top. I don't know what the thought process there was.
Yeah, we just did a fairly large complex over in Sun City with that, and we took that off and put some different metal on there and eliminated that. And, got the water moving off of there now.
And aside from, in addition to residential, it's a big application in commercial. You see it a lot of the warehouses and these mega buildings that are going up along the 303 and out in Glendale, Chandler. A lot of them are flat roof with a slope off the back. Less material, so it's more economical to build.
Yeah, we do a little bit. We'll have a couple different applications on that. A lot of them now have turned to, they've done TPO on there. It's like that rubberized flat roll that they roll out, but there's foam underneath that. We've done a lot of jobs where they put a cementitious coating over the top of that for the big commercial buildings. Just spray it on and put some granules. It's like a cement. It's white for the reflective value. And it's really hard. So if we get other trades walking up there and rolling carts, and it tends to stand up a little better.
And no matter what type of topical application, foam itself needs some type of coating on top.
Correct.
And we'll get to the types of coatings, but foam itself, what's it? You know, it's a two-part spray system that's, what's it made out of?
There's an ISO. So we have two barrels we pump into our trucks. There's an ISO and there's a resin on, so they go into two different tanks. This is how our application. The other companies may do it differently, coming right out of the barrels. But we pump it right into the truck. So there's the ISO side, there's a resin side. And there's on the proportioner machine, it sends it up the hose, both sides, up to the gun, and it combines at the gun. And there's a heater running along the hose, too, to get the proper temperature sprayed onto the roof. So you got to pay attention to the substrate temperatures. And depending on time of year, winter, summer, it's always going to be different. And there's different blends, too, so we can work all year round. But, yeah, it's got to get heated up to the right temperature. You spray it on there. And it's a pretty cool process. It comes out liquid, and it rises like bread in the oven, but at a really fast rate. And it hardens. And, yeah, within a couple minutes, you can walk on it. And it should come out like an orange peel look, smooth orange peel look.
And with everything, you know, prior to spraying, prep is very critical. And foam is one of those materials that will really let you know where the preparation was not done properly.
Yeah, you definitely need to make sure that roof deck is clean. You don't want any moisture on there. You get moisture, then you get blisters and... That's one thing this time of year you got to look out for when you're spraying it is, you know, little stuff is just, you know, sweat coming down. You got to be aware of that just coming off the body because it gets hot out. And, you got to make sure that deck is nice and clean, no dirt, no moisture. Prep it. You got to get, you know, tape everything off. You don't want to overspray the neighborhood. Definitely don't want to overspray cars. Although
and that is a benefit and a challenge on foam because it's the only roofing material I'm familiar with that doesn't need, you know, the underlayment because it sticks to everything.
Yeah. Yeah, it bonds really well to that wood. Bonds well to metal. Although if it's a metal roof, we've got to do a little bit different thickness, but that's about it.
and all the roofing penetrations, the PVC, a lot of times we need like a caulking or a third-party flashing product that, you know, when two dissimilar materials meet, well, foam, you can just spray it and let it stick to both seamless. So it creates a very strong waterproofing barrier because there's not the flashing or, you know, another material.
Correct.
To fail.
Yeah, you don't need those. Like, if you do a tile roof, you got the penetration coming out. You got to put some roof jacks on it and seal it with some sort of tar or something on there. Foam, you don't need that. You just foam right onto the pipe, any penetration, ACs. You can just apply it right on top of it, get a nice little ramp up the thing so water just comes nicely, slides right off. And, anything like that, just seamless, sprays on, comes out seamless, waterproofs it right on the spot.
And we'll, as we go through this hour, we'll talk about some of the other benefits, but after our quick break here, in addition to it being seamless and watertight, there's a huge insulation factor that comes with foam that you're not going to get from other roofing products as well.
Roofing is fun. Na 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 na, roofing is fun. Na 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 na, roofing is fun. Na 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 na, roofing is fun.
Trying to sell that, isn't he?
I can't wait until summer.
He hasn't done it in July.
No.
I'm counting down the day. Hey,
hey. Arizona Weather Force is forecasting not a lot of rain coming up for this monsoon season, but that doesn't mean there's not going to be the wind and other potential damage and that your roof should be ignored. One of the things we get with foam roofing that to me is a big selling point is the outsolation. Everyone's familiar with insulation, but outsolation goes on the outside of your home. So it is creating R value before it even penetrates your roofing deck.
Yeah, you get a per inch, the R value per inch of foam, you get about a 6.5 to 7. Is what it is. So it's versus, you know, your standard underlayments, it's probably nothing.
I don't know that it's one even measurable. Yeah.
Yeah. Depending on the thickness, I guess.
So how many inches of foam can be applied?
Not every job we start is a minimum 1 inch. We're not going to spray anything less than an inch. We always do 1 inch. You can put, we've done some that are 6-7 inches, just depending on what kind of slope they were looking for. You try to build a little slope if you can. It's all sprayed on and humid, so it's not an exact thing. It's a spray on, and you got to be able to control that. But yeah, you can put more than an inch on if you want. But from what I've understand is after 4 inches, the R value decreases a bunch. If that makes any sense. So you get up to 4 inches, you'd have an R value of 25, 30, somewhere in there. But if you put another inch, it's so thick, nothing can really penetrate that. So it doesn't seem to be cost-effective.
You're not adding any additional R value after about 4 inches.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to penetrate. So I don't know the exact science behind how that works, but that's what I've always understood it as.
And the funny thing about R value is, like in Arizona, we're a zone 2 according to Energy Star. And the R value for an uninsulated attic, they recommend up to 49. Well, the colder you get, the more R value it is. So it's more of a, and it's funny because they rate it off of the ability to resist heat. So it seems like it's a better retainer than it is a transfer, because if they're added more R value in the cold country, they're regulating the heat from inside the house coming outside. Where in Arizona, we're trying to regulate the heat from the outside from coming inside.
Correct, yeah. Keep that AC going and keep the house cool. And yeah, it works well. We've had a lot of customers come back and tell us it's made a difference on their energy bills in the summertime.
Well, and your roof is the biggest surface area of your home exposed to the sun.
Mm-hmm.
All day long, it's out there. So that cool coat of foam on top. And foam itself, when you said it's human applied, so with a wand as you're spraying it, you know, the applicator themselves has, you know, it's not a job you can just start tomorrow on. It takes a lot of practice on the wand.
Yeah, I've been very fortunate. We've been very fortunate. Our applicators have stuck around for several years. I'm talking, you know, 15, 20 years. So these guys know what they're doing. They are amazing at spraying a roof, and it looks amazing when they're done. It takes 6-7 months to really get a good spray on there.
Like you said, you know, even sweat can affect its how well it will adhere to the decking surface. So they're out there in the summer sweating. You know, you've got to be able to keep, you know, I pick do rags or
yeah, keep a rag on your head and try not to get any on there. But it's still going to happen. But the fortunate thing is, a lot of times if that does happen, it tends to blister right away. So when you're done, you can just go back out, clean it out, fix it up, and you would never even know.
Now, how wide of a spray? You know, if we're doing, let's say, a adobe-style home, kind of rectangle-ish, that might be 70 feet long and maybe 40 feet deep. I mean, how wide of a spray can that wand?
So it's not a wand. It's a gun. And the gun's probably 8 inches long. It's not very big. Yeah, it looks like a pistol, really, a big fat pistol, but that's what it looks like. They'll go 3-4 feet passes.
And as fast as it expands and dries, I mean, do they have to keep moving the whole time across the roof?
Yeah. So what they'll do is they'll spray it down. They'll be walking backwards. Of course, we want to be aware where the edges so you don't fall off, and that's the last roof you spray. We definitely don't want that. You just walk. They walk backwards. They spray it, and usually in about half-inch passes is what we do. So they put about a half inch, and then by the time they're done, or they go next to it and spray again, and then they go back over the top where they started. So by the time they get down to the end, they can pretty much walk on it and do another half inch.
But you couldn't stop halfway through a half-inch applicator, break for lunch, come back, and then pick right back up.
Oh yeah, you could do that.
You don't have to worry about it not being, you know, this foam already up and formed. It sticks so well; it'll stick to itself when you come back.
Yeah, we'll do applications too where, you know, they have an existing foam roof and it doesn't need to always be torn off. And we've developed this process, as far as I know. Maybe Wasser, maybe another couple of our companies might do this, but we've kind of developed our own little machine where we poke a million holes into the roof, and we'll spray another inch on top of your existing roof. So a lot of times they'll do that because you get double the insulation and you save on tear-off costs. That depends also on the current condition of the foam that's on there. But yeah, you can spray right into those holes and it bonds to the old one. And
so you're kind of like core aerating your foam roof so that the new application, you know,
yeah,
bonds it together a little
like
better.
Aerating your grass, put some more foam on there.
In studio, halfway through our On the House Hour with Tim Forstie of DuraFoam Roofing. And Tim, I hadn't mentioned, you know, if somebody has a foam or flat roof question, you're welcome to join the conversation at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE-4U. Text questions can be sent to 411-923. And we did have a gentleman during the break called Ed wanted to know about maintenance. And we'll get to maintenance, but let's get through the rest of the foam system. We've gone through, you know, the prep work, the material of foam. It's expanding. It goes on in half-inch layers. But it doesn't matter what type of foam you put on. That's not the finished product. Foam itself has a great insulation value, but it does not stand up to the sun. So we've got to put something on top of the foam before it's complete.
So yeah, we do two different processes on that. It's based on the warranty length. We offer a 5-year warranty which is the two coats of elastomeric coating. So that's what you stick on top of there. We'll put a base coat. Every job gets a base coat as soon as it's done foam, first day or second day, however big the roof is. So we'll put that base coat on there, and then we'll put a top coat for a five-year system warranty. We'll put two coats on there, and then for a 10-year one, we'll put that third coat on top of there. So what you want to, what we shoot for, we want to get around 10 to 15 mils of that coating thickness on top of the foam. So the two coats, you know, you get around 25 mils. And companies will give you a 10-year warranty with that two-coat system, and it'll last 10 years. But what happens is when you get below that, you know, 12, 13, 11 mil thickness, the UV rays will start to eat that foam. So that's why you want to cover the foam, because the UV rays will just start eating that stuff right up, causing problems. And with the three-coat system, 10-year, we'll put that third coat, you'll have 30 to 40 on there. And after 10 years, you should be somewhere around the 20s. And with the five-year system, with around 20, 25, you should still be around 15. So it'll go, but after the 10 years is up with just the two coats, you run the risk of having to replace the roof again.
Now, just because there's a 10-year warranty, if you properly maintain it, doesn't mean you're only going to get 10 years out of that foam roof.
Oh, yeah. This is on. You'll get longer. Back to Ed's question, which you want to do. So, after the 5 years, we recommend recoating every 5 years, unless you have that 10-year. You'll be fine for 10 years. We just recommend recoating it again. Other maintenance stuff, which you want to do, you know, once a year. You want to go up, especially if you have trees, palm trees, those big brown leaves that they drop. They like to block scuppers and cause dams. So you definitely want to clean tree debris. It always amazes me how little dirt and tree debris can cause a backup on a scupper or a drain. And it's not much; it's a handful a lot of times, and water just backs up. And you don't want to run the risk of that water coming in through a pipe or even underneath through the parapet wall metal. I've seen that too. That's
water finds a way.
Water does. It'll figure it out some way.
And the longer it sits there, the longer it has to figure out where it's going to go. Now, as dry as it is, well, during the rain, the evaporation isn't something that's going to happen that same day. It could be up there a long time, and the more debris we have built up, the longer the evaporation process takes, because it's being retained by the dirt and the leaves. So keeping it clean is crucial.
Yeah, that's one big thing I see. Every time I go on one, if there's tree debris and stuff, I'll try to pull it off of there and get it off of there for the customer. But yeah, that's a big thing I see. Another thing you'll get woodpeckers occasionally will peck into there. And what I think happens is these little bees. They'll bore into there, and then those woodpeckers try to get them. So you get little bird holes on the edges or on the walls. Most of the time, it doesn't go all the way through the foam. It'll go, you know, quarter inch, half inch, but still, you want to, you know, just jump up there once in a while, check it out, fill them in. We've got some caulking that we can sell or point you to where to go to get something to fill those in. You know, once a year or just every couple of years, it's always a good idea to jump up there and just kind of see what's going on.
And if we do find the debris, is that something I can string a few hoses together to, take a push broom? What's the best way to clean the roof?
Yeah.
Don't walk up in heels either.
Yeah, definitely don't walk in hood. Definitely walk up in flat shoes. No heels, it'll poke right through. Don't wear your golf shoes up there.
Or cowboy boots.
Or cowboy boots. Just wear your regular old tennis shoes. Careful going up the ladder. But, yeah, either one works. Just want to get it so it's clean of the – however your water drains off, that's where you want to keep it clean. And just throw it in a garbage bag or throw it over the edge. If you have a landscape company – that does your landscaping. You might even ask them. I've heard some of our customers say they'll have their landscapers just go up there and blow it off with a blower.
While they're there with the blowers?
Yeah, just that's funny. Hop up there and blow it off.
Now, the one benefit I see to doing a water clean is if you do have those woodpecker holes, they would be easier to identify because the water would start pooling in those areas.
They're pretty small. They're, you know, half inch wide. You'll see them. It's almost all the time they're on the sides, so the parapet walls is where you'll get them. And then occasionally right on the edge. It's very rare that it's in the middle of the roof.
Okay.
I don't know why that is, but that's just how I've always noticed it. It's either right on the parapet walls or just right on the edge.
On the edge. Mm-hmm. And that is a perfect transition into parapet walls. So a lot of flat roofs, they just stop. Mm-hmm. But a lot of them, and especially their territorial style homes that are trying to follow the, you know, true Adobe architecture, the parapet extends above the roof line.
Mm-hmm. So if you've got some bad stucco and it's cracking, and a lot of times that stucco leaks, you know, that they've put that paper behind it for a waterproofing, but that stuff bakes. It goes bad after time. So what we'll do a lot of times is if it's not a super high wall, you know, 10 feet high, but it's just standard parapets around the perimeter of your house, 2-3 feet up, 4 feet, whatever it is. We'll foam up and over the top to the outside edge of your wall, and it'll get into all that, all those cracks, any issues, and it's seamless. It'll waterproof your whole wall. And, you don't have to worry about those problems anymore.
And I have seen a lot of times where they won't foam all the way over the top of the parapet. There'll be flashing that meets it a couple inches up, but it doesn't make sense to me. I mean, I know it can be done very well that way, but if the foam crew's already there, the amount of material to just finish that little bit up and over the top, and to have that seamless application and not have, you know, conditions conducive for a potential leak. I don't know why you wouldn't just go ahead and finish.
Right. And on if it's a new build on a new construction house, we'll tell them to have the framers just plywood that. A lot of times they'll leave it down, and then you put they'll put some Z-metal on. And what we'll do is we'll just go up and over the top to the outside, right on the plywood. And then when the stucco guy comes back, he can put his normal application over the top of ours. So if that paper ever goes bad or that stucco cracks in where it previously probably would have leaked, now you've got that double protection there with our foam going up and over and then their stucco coming back down. And you almost never have a problem when you do it that way.
Now, a territorial style home is a very beautiful architectural look for the Southwest native here. But we've covered this many times. It's also probably about the most maintenance that could be required is on a territorial style home. And one of the reasons for that is one of the most expensive to maintain. When we're calculating roof size, everything's in squares, which is 10 by 10.
Yeah, 10 by 10.
So if you have a 3,000 square foot home, like, well, that's pretty easy to calculate that. But you might have another 2,000 square feet in parapets.
Yeah.
If you've got a 2 or 3 foot parapet around the entire perimeter.
Yeah.
So you could be almost double the cost of what you think in your mind your roof is going to be. But the parapet is part of your roofing system.
Yeah, you've got a... It depends how high the parapets are up, but yeah, it can add quite a bit to just your flat decking square footage amount. Those parapets, it adds up. It's quite surprising.
And something that, you know, thinking day in and day out, that's not something that comes to mind. So.
No.
And especially when you're buying a new one or if you ever move into a territorial home at first, it's just not something that, you know, why would you think about that?
Right. Yeah, you just see what your square footage of your house is when you buy it and don't think about the vertical part of it.
Or even if you're new to the state, even what a parapet is. I mean, how many, how many parapets are in Wisconsin?
Right.
Or Duluth, where you guys are from originally.
I don't know. I haven't been to Duluth in a long time. Yeah, we get a lot of people from out of town. They're not really familiar with the foam roof system. It's a pretty new process for them coming from out of state. A lot of people in the Southwest are more familiar with it. It's pretty common down here, but up there, anything with foam related is mostly insulation in the walls on the inside of the house.
And what type? You know what? I'll wait till after the break. But we'll, you know. Foam isn't the only application. It's the best application, but somebody, if they're going up and they're inspecting their flat roof, what other materials are they likely to see in the Southwest? We'll cover that here in our final segment on On the House Hour with Tim Forsty of Durafoam Roofing.
There's room enough for two up on a roof.
And if you're up on your flat roof for your first time, pretty easy to tell if it's foam. It'll be white.
Yeah, most likely. There is some different colors. We have a tan, or if there's a special color occasionally, a customer will ask us for. But for the most part, they're white.
And it'll be a little softer to walk on than your roll-down roofing.
Yeah.
And I have seen rolled roofing where they'll put elastomeric coating over the top of it, trying to extend the life of that. But what other types of roofing systems would somebody likely find in Arizona if it's not foam?
If it's not foam on the flat roof, you'll get the rolled roofing, as you said. You'll get a torch down tar roof. You'll get that kind of an application. You'll see. I don't know if anybody does this anymore, but you'll see occasionally still a rolled roof with gravel on top of it and rocks all over the top of that. So.
You know where you can see a lot of that is in the foothills of Tucson. And if you take river and you're going through and you look to the south where you're looking down, all those rooftops are still that system.
Oh, are they?
Actually, there's some houses in Arcadia that looked exactly the same way. They've got the small rocks and large rocks on the roof, flat roof. And I always bike by there and go, why? Why put a roof like that up there?
You know, I don't.
Is it aesthetic or just?
It's probably aesthetic, and I don't know. Maybe they thought we'd get a big hailstorm or something, which did happen, but yeah. Probably once in our lifetime.
12 years ago in 2012 was that or was it 2010? It's
October 5th, 2010.
That was 14 years. Did that damage a lot of foam roofs?
Oh yeah.
I remember right, they estimated it took like 7 years to get everything fixed.
That probably saved about every foam roofing company in the valley at the time, because that was a rough economy. I still remember that day. I was sitting in the office, and I think we finished maybe our last job for the week, and that's never happened to us. And my dad was working on our church camp up in Prescott, me and a couple of our sales guys were watching the storm come. We're like, wow, look at that storm. That's amazing. No idea that it was a huge hailstorm. And suddenly the phones started ringing like you wouldn't believe. I finally called my dad at 9, 10 o'clock that
you
night.
You better get down here.
I was just answering phones trying to, you know. Well, it wasn't just the roofs. It was the skylights. People, you know, they had skylights just exploding on them. And you know, just water pouring into their houses. It was unbelievable. And stucco was wrecked. Yeah, I called him and I said, "What do you want me to do?" And he said, "What are you talking about?" He was driving down, wondering, well, maybe this is it. We'll just shut down. Like, you know, there ain't no work.
Go back to the fishing shop.
Go back to fishing, I guess.
And you guys are a pretty big family. Do you have any of your 8 siblings working with you?
Yeah, I've got 2 brothers working with me. One's my partner. Another one is, works as a salesman with us. Yeah. I'm one of 12.
You have 8. You're one of 12.
And I have 8 kids. Yeah.
And of that, are they, everyone still pretty local?
No, of my siblings, I've got, let's see, I got two in Alaska, one in Michigan, one in Minnesota. Although the Michigan one's moving to Alaska, and the Minnesota one's moving here, and then I got two in North Dakota, and everybody else is here.
So when we talk about a family business, I mean, it's a family business. You learn this through growing up with your dad in the trades and the roofing industry. And you had a couple boys listening this morning.
Oh, yeah. My two boys were listening, Emmett and Archer. They were trying to yell back at me as my wife texted me. So, what's up, Emmett and Archer?
Dad's just about done. He'll be home soon. When we're talking roofing, roof integrity, at what age on a foam roof should I start thinking? I mean, ideally, when you get done, you're already starting to save for the replacement just because, you know, nothing lasts forever. And especially, you know, what gets the most sun, the most beating day in and day out is our roofs. But at what age should I start thinking, all right, I need to be in a 2-3 year plan to stay ahead of this and replace before I end up with water damage, roof damage, you know, and the adverse effects of what could happen if I wait till, you know, I've got leaks and problems to replace it.
So we've got some roofs that are still, you know, sprayed 30 years ago. They've kept up on recoating. The recoating is a big part of it, keeping up every 5 to 10 years, you know, recoating that. But for the most part, it seems, you know, that 20, 25 years is when they really start to crack and come apart and just disintegrate. But yeah, they'll last. You should get several years out of it anyways. 20 to 30, I would estimate.
Which is a pretty good span. I mean, it's longer than you're going to get from most of your old roofings,
yeah,
by far.
Yeah.
Texter wants to know, in a foam roof application, can they still do rainwater collection and harvesting?
I don't see why not.
I think it'd be cleaner than doing it off of an asphalt rolled roof.
Yeah, if you're gonna do that, the coating breaks down, so you might get a little bit of that white coating powder getting into there. But I don't know if that's gonna, if you're just gonna be washing for plants or watering plants, I don't think you'd have any issues
with
that.
Which it's gonna end up in there anyway from running off the roof.
Yeah, it's gonna end up in there anyway, so I wouldn't be too worried about it, I guess.
The volume and the frequency of that breakdown is so minute, it's not gonna have any long-term effects or any measurable effects, if any.
Right.
So. All right, Durafoam Roofing, Rosie on the House Charter Partner, been in Arizona since 89, been with us, gosh, I would have to ask Rosie.
I think it's 94 or 95 when we started working with Rosie, yeah.
Been a long, long time at DurafoamRoofing.com, but real quick for the old school guys that can still remember phone numbers.
480-941-5373 and DurafoamInc.com, INC.